Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the iconic Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City reopens with a remarkable new look, and Carnival leads cruise customers deeper into its credit card world. Those stories next in the news.
Probably the best thing that you can do for yourself when traveling by air is to have the airline's app on your phone. We'll talk about the importance of airline apps in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25.
Syndicated travel columnist and consumer advocate Chris Elliott has been a friend of this program for a long, long time. At 11:35, he joins us for a monthly update, an extended interview to talk about shoes and liquids, improvements in airport security, plus updates on the importance of travel insurance and rental car companies that hound their customers.
Another hour designed to make you just a little smarter the next time you hit the road. Welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
To another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. Thanks for joining us. And don't forget now, you can find us at TravelGuysRadio.com, podcasts and so much more there to make you a smarter traveler. Thanks for coming along. Mark, good to see you.
Nice
welcome
to
back
see you,
from
sir.
Welcome back from Fort Bragg.
Yeah, just a little trip over to the coast for a few days. Fort Bragg is one of my favorite places. It's an old logging town. That, you know, when the mill shut down 20 or so years ago, the folks up there had no choice but to become a tourist destination. They had, unlike the other cities along the coast, they had sort of avoided that. They were more of a working person's town, and with the mill and the trucks hauling the logs back and forth, and so it had a different feel than the other spots along the coast. With the mill closed, now Fort Bragg feels like all the other destinations on the coast, except that it's big enough to have a lot of the amenities that some of the other destinations don't. So there's a choice of accommodations on different levels, and there's a choice of restaurants and the like. There are places over there that there are many views of the ocean. I mean, if you want to see the coast, then there are lots of places you can go there. I really enjoy the Mendocino Botanical Gardens. We were there on a cloudy day, and I thought, oh, well, this isn't going to be as cool because it's cloudy. But those gardens are so well put together and manicured and choreographed that the Mendocino Botanical Gardens are worth visiting anytime. It's a gentle walk. You can go all the way out to the ocean if you want or not. Great place. The docent guides there are incredibly nice people. Lots of great restaurants in Fort Bragg. On all different levels. I mean, if you want McDonald's, it's there. If you want a fancy dinner, it's there. If you want something in between, it's also there. There's a glass seashell museum that we visited that was quite entertaining. Not the museum necessarily, but the guy who runs it is an old sea captain, old merchant marine sea captain.
Perfect.
And we got him to tell us a little bit about some of his experiences and the like. So that was kind of cool. We stayed at a place called the Harbor Light Lodge, which is not the fanciest place in Fort Bragg, but has a great location right on Noyo Harbor with views of the harbor and stuff like that. And the rooms are in really nice shape, and it's priced sort of not like a big fancy hotel. So it makes a good in-the-middle sort of place. And like I said, the rooms are really nice. The people who run the place, Omi and her group there, are really nice people. So if you're planning a visit over to the coast sometime soon, Fort Bragg is a great destination. You can go down to Mendocino there from there. The road going north is still, Highway 1 is still blocked. But you certainly can go south from there. And Fort Bragg doesn't have quite the prices that some of the other oceanside destinations have along the coast.
Great information. All right. We are the Travel Guys, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And once again, with today's edition, here's Mark Hoffman. Mark, what do you have for us today?
Well, this is kind of an interesting story from a website called Cruise Fever. So I don't expect them to be particularly objective, but I found this article to be interesting about Carnival Cruise Lines. Carnival announced some pretty radical changes to their loyalty program next week. Now, cruise line loyalty programs are not like airline loyalty programs where everybody lives and dies over them. But still, you can earn a few perks for your loyalty with a particular cruise line. So if that's, you know, up your alley, Carnival now has announced, well, they've had a credit card for a while, but now they're tying, like many of the airlines have done, they're going to tie your point earning ability on their for their loyalty program to their credit card. So the more you use a Carnival Cruise Lines to pay for everyday expenses, the more points you're going to earn and the bigger discount you're going to get on your next trip, very similar to the airlines. Of course, very similar to the airlines, as we've pointed out. Nobody really regulates this stuff. So these people can change their minds, their qualifications, the numbers that you have to have, eliminate the program, do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. So keep that in mind before you get too married to one of these loyalty programs, because it's the goalposts get moved often. And recently we've seen them moved a lot, especially with the airlines. Speaking of airlines, here's a story with a headline, "Morale Just Really Plummets. Air Traffic Controllers Rail Against Trump's New Proposal." The air traffic controllers are not very happy with the president. And for all the groups to not be happy with the president, this is a pretty critical group because these guys direct the air traffic. So if they all call in sick one day, guess what? You're not going anywhere. And how do I know that? Because I was in Newark a couple of months ago when that exact thing happened.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly there weren't enough air traffic controllers. So these guys are disappointed that the federal budget has boiled down to equipment upgrades and proposals to ramp up hiring as opposed to looking more at safety things. Also, 80% of air traffic controllers work overtime. So that's whether you want to or not. So double shifts and stuff. I mean, imagine trying to run your family and things like that. And it's a really, my father was an air traffic controller. It's a really stressful job. And those people are incredibly important to the system. So as the government moves forward and spending money and upgrading different aspects of the system and stuff, we need to remember the people who run it, because without them, it doesn't run itself, at least not yet. Tom, ever get a boarding pass at the airport that had SSSS on it?
No, I have not. Excuse me, but I did read once what that was all about. What more do you know?
Well, if you get your boarding pass and it has an SSSS, it stands for Secondary Security Screening Selection. Uh-huh. So you have been, for whatever reason, selected to a little bit more scrutiny when you go through security. So don't become too terribly upset about it. It's not unusual.
We had a mailbag deal on our show where we did the mailbag, and one of the listeners wrote in, said, "Hey, we were traveling, and my wife got this this SSSS on her boarding pass, and they were wondering what that stood for and what it meant." At that time, we knew that it was an extra screening, but we didn't really know as much as we do now.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that you will have extra screening. It just means that you've been selected for extra screening. And if you try to print a boarding pass from your computer or at the airport downstairs or something like that, and it won't print for you initially, it's probably because you've then designated that SSSS, and you're going to need somebody, a person, to print that out for you. But don't panic when you see it. It doesn't mean that awful things are going to happen to you. It just means that you may get a pat down or some other fun things, you know, from maybe a looking TSA agent or something like that. The Waldorf Astoria has reopened after 8 years. 8 years the Waldorf was closed. Always the iconic hotel. I remember when I was growing up, you know, the game shows and stuff like that would always say to the winners or the losers or whatever, "We're happy to present you with a two-night stay at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City." And I think it was a place that a lot of people aspired to get to or see someday. Sure. And so for 8 years, it's been closed. They've reopened it. It's a lot different than it was. There were 1,400 rooms originally, and now there are about 650. About half of those are residences. And so there's about 400 hotel rooms for rent every night. It's not going to be inexpensive. I looked online, and the cheap rooms start at $500 and change. But if you're looking for a really cool experience, or I'm going to try and get a lunch or a meal there or something like that for my groups that go to New York City. But the Waldorf Astoria has reopened in New York. Summer travel is seeing a shift to shorter, more local trips. Americans are spending about $3,000 the average family on a vacation this year, as opposed to about $4,000 last year. Prices are higher. And people are, considerably higher in some segments. And so people are being a lot more careful how they spend their money. The hospitality industry is really afraid that the $250 visa integrity fee included in President Trump's budget law will deter temporary workers from applying to work in the United States next year, even though it would be refunded when the worker returns home, may not have the $250 in the first place. And another thing that's kind of interesting, they've come up with this $250 visa integrity fee, and that's going to put us at a pretty serious disadvantage when people are thinking about coming here for, the World Cup, or something like that. Why then are they still going to come if we start piling all this stuff on it? And if our PR is so bad that people think there's a chance they're going to get arrested when they get here. So there's some work to go there. Visitors are not showing up yet. And this administration has shown a great propensity so far for announcing things and then backpedaling a little bit if the public objects. So maybe somebody will see the importance of aligning the cost of getting into the country with what people are willing to pay. Airbnb's new service offers people the opportunity to add things to their stay. So if you're going to New York City and you want to buy theater tickets or you want to buy a tour or something like that, you can now buy them from Airbnb. Not all of the hosts are really crazy about this idea because they're kind of worried about concerns of liability and property damage and some of the things that have been made available to people who stay in their homes are things that you would do in the home. So United Airlines has announced that they are ending landline bus service. We told you last week that American was expanding its bus services with flights connecting to flights in Philadelphia. United is discontinuing their bus service from Denver to Colorado Springs and from Newark to Allentown, Pennsylvania in early September. And that is your travel news for today. Good Lord, it was really nice over on the coast. We were like 60 degrees in Fort Bragg and not too much wind and stuff, but it's not as much fun to be there when it's only 90 in the valley, because you want people in the valley to be absolutely miserable when you get to escape to the coast.
Ain't that the truth?
So, hey, listen, before we get into the Smarter Traveler little thing here about airline apps, I had a couple of little notes that I wanted to share. The first is they did an airline Wi-Fi speed test. I know Wi-Fi is a constant source of aggravation for people on airplanes. Hawaiian Airlines, of the U.S. carriers, by far, had the strongest service. And they're out over the ocean. So obviously they're pulling it out of the sky, but I just thought that was kind of interesting that Hawaiian, literally by not only these people's determination, but also by a vote that they took, it didn't appear to be slanted towards Hawaiian, but Hawaiian was like 2-1. It didn't have as many votes because Hawaiian doesn't carry as many customers. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, so if you're headed out on Hawaiian Airlines, it's possible that you may be able to do some work, watch some things, do some stuff when you're out over the ocean. One other quick thing. Yes, sir.
I was going to say, you fly a lot. Have you found any of your airlines that you've been on better than another?
No, they all suck. the internet on, I'm sure people who travel a lot will probably agree with me. If you found one internet on airlines to be better than others, go to travelguysradio.com and drop me a note. But no, I haven't found anybody. It'll go along for a couple, 3 hours and be perfect, and then it'll go away. And you can't get it back. And sometimes it's not even there to start with. So United is hypothetically upgrading all of their planes as we speak. But it's going to take like 6 or 8 months to get them all. So anyways, one other thing I wanted to mention here. Our travel gal, Sydney Schellinger, has been nominated for travel in the Best of Citrus Heights for Best Travel Agency. So if you listen to Sydney on here, or maybe you know her, you can go to travelguysradio.com. There's a link there, and you can vote for her so that she can be best travel agency in Citrus Heights. I know Sydney. She's a member of my Toastmasters Club, and that's how I met her. And really a great gal. And, boy, she's just absorbing. You can see her absorbing all of the travel industry as she goes. So, all right, back to the business at hand here. Phone apps. Tom, you don't travel nearly as much as I do, but when you travel, you have the airline app on your phone?
Absolutely. I have airline apps with airlines that I've never traveled on, simply because I like to goof around and see how they work and whether to book a flight on those or not. But absolutely, and they keep me connected with my flight. They let me know if there's any changes and so forth. It's really a great way to go.
Really and truly, if you're an older traveler and you're not a technology person, there's two things you need to do. One is you need to get an Apple AirTag for the bags that you check, and maybe for the bags that you carry around too, so that if you leave it in the airport in the restroom, or you know, you get on the plane and it's still in the waiting area, you'll know where it is right away. There's a much better chance of getting it back. So that's a great thing, the AirTag. And the other thing is the phone app for the airline that you're traveling on. And it also doesn't hurt to put the phone apps for other major carriers on your phone, because who knows, you're flying United and you get somewhere and your plane is already gone, and it's like the only way to get home is to come home on American. So sometimes it's nice. But the airline apps have gotten so good, Tom. United's especially good. Southwest has an excellent one. They're constantly making improvements. On United, you can go on the app and see where your plane is. So you can tell if it's on time or it's late and where it is and what's going on with it and how likely is it to make it there at the time that they're projecting. And therefore, are you going to make your connecting flight, and what's the gate? How far are you going to have to go when you get to that connecting airport? That's all great information to know before you are stuck with it. So really, getting the airlines app on your phone, if you're an older traveler and you're not really into apps, this is where you get the neighbor or your grandson or your granddaughter to help you put it on. And they're really very easy to use, in my opinion. And you will find that you have just a plethora of information at your fingertips. And if you're shopping for, you know, you're in a waiting area and you're working on your next trip or something like that. I do this often. If you're a business traveler, you're in the waiting area, you can sit there and hypothetically dig through all the schedules and plan your next trip, or at least find out what's available just while you're sitting in the waiting area or a restaurant or hotel or whatever. So I really strongly recommend that you consider, if you don't already have it on your phone, you really want to get the airline app on your phone, because it's the best way to stay up to date on what's going on with your flight today, tomorrow, or whenever.
If you're in a situation where you're at the airport and you wander away from your gate because how are you going to go pick up some food or whatever, you've got some extra time, and you don't happen to go by and check one of the boards to see whether anything has changed on your flight, and you don't have the app, you could be moved to a different gate at a different time and not even know it. If you have the app, they will alert you. You'll get a little ding ding on your phone. You'll open it up and it'll tell you that you've been moved to gate C3. Your flight is still on time at the same place, and you're set to go. That in itself is worth having it.
And you can track your, you know, if you earn miles or points or whatever it is, you can track all of that. You can look up flights. You can see, you know, what options. If you think that you're going to get stuck somewhere, what a great opportunity to be able to look and see what else might be available and what flights have seats on them and are not delayed, etc.
Yeah. Okay. And here again, it's not that hard to do. But if you're not real good at downloading in apps and so forth, it's pretty easy to find a young folk to help you out. Hey, man, I'm just like way over young, and I was able to figure it out, so I figure most of us can.
Hey there, Mark and Tom here, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. You can check out our website, travelguysradio.com, where you'll find a link to our special guest today, Christopher Elliott, all the way from East Germany. Welcome back to the Travel Guys, Christopher.
Gentlemen, it is always a pleasure to be with you.
Eastern Germany, huh? That sounds like a perhaps an interesting place to be at this moment in history, since some of those people in Eastern Germany at some point in time had went through some of the stuff that we might be going through right now. What's that?
What, you had to go there. You had to go there. Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, in 60 seconds or less.
Yeah. 60 seconds, that's all I have. There are some comparisons. I have talked to people here. I am in a little town called Lenzen, which is right across the Elbe. And there are still guard towers from the old DDR regime. And there are people who remember it very well. I've spoken with them. And they say, yes, there are some similarities to what's happening in our country right now, but still not quite as bad as it was. So, there's still a little daylight here for us, I think.
Well, nobody under 50 probably remembers that we called it the Iron Curtain, you know, that Germany was two separate countries, and people on one side couldn't go to the other side easily for a long time.
People on the west. Eastern side could visit their relatives in the east, but it didn't go the other way around. And one guy I met told me the story about how the bus drivers were paid by the Stasi, which was the secret police, to report any suspicious activity. If you were a young man with luggage traveling on a bus here, that was suspicious, especially around November. That was the time for the crossings. People would just duck into the woods and flee, and then try to swim across the Elbe to get to West Germany.
Wow.
So we don't have that yet in the United States.
No, we do not. How long are you going to be in Germany?
Another 2 weeks.
Okay. What's your next destination?
Greece,
okay. Still got two boys traveling with you?
Yeah. Yep, we're just traveling together.
I don't know that boys would be an accurate description at this point. Probably young men would be a better description.
For sure.
They are, yeah. One of them is just wrapping up his degree, and the other one is just starting another one. So they're still with me, and it's great. I love them. They're great travel companions, and we have a lot of fun together. And they take good photos for me too, which is wonderful. So I put them to work.
Wow, your very own staff.
That's right.
And slave labor is the best. You know, if they don't take the pictures, you just don't feed them at night.
Don't give me any ideas, please.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's see what we can do to make our people a smarter traveler. Chris is not only a syndicated columnist, he writes for Travelers United, for USA Today. So you might, if you're reading a travel article somewhere and you're thinking, wow, this has really got some good information on it, even money is, you'll get, if you look at the top or the bottom of the article, you'll find out that Mr. Elliott's name is attached to it. So I get these little Christopher updates from all over the place, and I've gathered a few of them today to talk to you about, because it's travel season and some of these things are on a lot of people's minds. Some people know a whole lot about them. Some know very little. But I thought we might be able to help people a little bit. First item on my list, you wrote an article about trip insurance is an important part of your travel planning. Some people, like I said, know this. But for people who don't really understand it, or might be wondering whether or not they need it, help them make a decision.
There are people out there who would tell you that if you're traveling anywhere, that you need travel insurance. That is not necessarily true. So you need to have something that is insurable, so a non-refundable deposit or a plane ticket that's non-refundable or something like that. Those are the kinds of things that you can insure. So if you're taking a road trip and you're just like staying with, you know, grandma's house and eating grocery store meals, that's not the kind of thing that can be insured typically. But if you are staying in a hotel or a vacation rental or you're flying somewhere, that definitely is something that you can and should insure. And travel insurance has a lot of benefits that people don't necessarily know about. One of the big ones is medical insurance, is the medical coverage. So if you're traveling internationally, what you might not know is that your regular health insurance probably will not cover you. So this will cover you. And then evacuations, too. That's the big one, is where people will have a medical emergency and they will end up having to spend $50,000, $75,000 on an air ambulance to get back home. insurance will cover something like that as well. So that's my elevator pitch for travel insurance.
You pointed out here that Nationwide, which sells travel insurance, had 8 reasons to consider travel insurance, and you hit the number one on the list was emergency medical reimbursement. And you're right. You know, you think, well, I'm a healthy 44-year-old, and why would I need medical insurance? And there's one of the things right there is that evacuation thing. Cancellation due to illness. We have this come up at Sports Leisure Vacations all the time. Fortunately, most of our people are older and they take protection. Some type of cancellation protection, cancellation insurance, something like that. Because otherwise, you're going overseas, the loss when you get close to departure can be pretty sizable. You've got delayed or lost luggage, emergency evacuation, loss of a friend or family member, trip interruption, damaged destinations, trip cancellation. Like if your destination had a bad storm or a hurricane or something right before you were due to go, and you might be protected, depending on the circumstances, if you are unable to travel to that destination or your destination's unable to accept people. Chris, you made a good comment there about that you don't need travel insurance for everything, and I really agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. If you've got a hotel and an airline ticket, rental cars are a little easier to drop at the last minute than those two previous things. But if you've got, you know, scheduled attractions and stuff like that, you've maybe purchased a very expensive excursion or something like that when you get overseas or to the other side of the country. Yes, travel insurance is something that you really need to consider. There are lots of different companies that sell it. So you can go online and you can do some homework and research. Or what I would really recommend to you, Chris, see if you agree with me on this, is whoever is providing your travel in some cases can be that expert, but you have to be careful because in some cases, some travel companies get incentives to sell certain types of travel protection or insurance, and that could come back. You might not get exactly what you were looking for.
I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely. And there's two things that I would add to that. First of all, the sooner that you buy your insurance, the closer to the date of your reservation, the better off, because you might be able to also get the travel insurance company to cover a pre-existing medical condition. If you wait too long, then that's not possible. The other thing is, we didn't mention cancel for any reason insurance. Most people believe that insurance is actually cancel for any reason, which means that it's insured, and if I don't want to go, I just cancel. There is a type of insurance that does that. It's called cancel for any reason. What happens is that they will give you a 50% refund or a 75% refund on the cost of your prepaid non-refundable items that you bought, but it also costs a little bit more. So it's usually between 10 to 12% of the cost of your trip.
Right. About twice as much perhaps as the regular insurance. And the other thing to keep in mind with cancel for any reason is that sometimes some of those policies are not all refundable in cash. So you might, for cancel for any reason, you say, hey, I don't want to go. They might say, okay, you get your money back, but part of it is in the form of a credit that is usable within a reasonable period of time or something like that. So make sure you do your homework when you get into that cancel for any reason. And to Chris's point, it is expensive because you can cancel for any reason. So you have a lot more latitude there, but you're paying extra money for that latitude.
It's been all over the news, everybody all excited, jumping out of their shoes over the fact that they don't have to take their shoes off at the airport anymore. And then on the heels of that, I didn't even plan on that, is this whole situation now with liquids on the plane. You pinned a little bit about it. Tell me how you're feeling about this.
As you know, I have a newsletter called Elliott Confidential where I cover more breaking news events. And we just had a poll question this morning about this. We know that the TSA has dropped its take your shoes off rule, but now the Department of Homeland Security has said that it's also considering dropping the liquids rule. It probably will in the next couple of days. That's my guess. And if it does, then we'll be flying like it's 1999 all over again. You can take your big gulp with you through security and everything will be fine. Here's the thing about all this is that I wonder, what were they really protecting us from? What was the threat? We know that Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, was probably the reason that they had the mm-hmm. taking your shoes off. But there was no real credible threat that people were trying to blow up planes with their shoes. And that rule has been around for a really long time, for almost 20 years. Same thing with the liquids. So those have been criticized as security theater or security circus, whatever you want to call it. And I wonder how many more rules like that are out there. So in my opinion, it's high time that they got rid of these rules. They shouldn't have existed in the first place. And I would expect more common sense to be returned to the TSA screening process fairly soon.
What do you think will come after that?
A year ago, I flew to Israel, and they didn't have any of those rules. And in fact, getting into the country was really easy. The reason why was that they screened us before we got into the country. They ran our passports. They realized that we were no threat. And so we didn't really have to do much of anything. They just waved us in. I think that that's what we're headed toward right now, is a system where they know who you are. We already have Face ID. I think taking off the jacket and unpacking your laptop that's going to be gone too. And so you'll just be able to put your bag on the conveyor belt, have it run through, and then that's it. I would also expect that those huge body scanners will at some point, they're at the end of their life anyway, so I don't think they're going to be replaced, and they'll just be decommissioned, and they'll move to a much more common sense type of screening other than trying to see through your clothes.
Well, and if you're correct, Chris, what this means is that the technology has advanced enough that whether or not that was a legitimate threat to start with, that perhaps somebody somewhere that's high enough up feels that it's not a threat now. And I hope you all are right, because I don't want to be on an airplane that falls out of the sky, because that's a really bad experience.
Experience. Absolutely.
It is. It is. And no matter who you complain to afterwards, you rarely get the results you're looking for. Hey, listen, you've been on a rant recently about car rentals, and I've done that here myself. I related to people on air that Hertz had tried to actually to ding me with this new technology, and I had basically told them, Chris Elliott told me to take pictures, and I did. And my pictures don't match your pictures, mm-hmm. and my pictures are time-dated, so to you. And they stopped bothering me. And which is basically what you said would happen when we last talked about this a couple years ago. You related recently that Enterprise is using this little damage kind of sizer thing, and Hertz is using putting the car through a screening process that looks like a car wash that basically points everything out. But, I'm a really good Hertz customer, and they came after me. I've heard from other people that they Hertz has come after them, too. One guy paid them off. What should people do if they get – what do they do to protect themselves in the first place? And then what should they do if a car rental company comes after them and says, hey, this happened, and you know it didn't?
Yeah. So here's what you need to know. The Hertz system is actually – what makes it different from the other systems is that it's using AI. So it's taking a picture – before and after, and it's using AI to determine any irregularities. Even if those irregularities are really small, like a shadow or a small aberration, maybe just a difference in angle. And the system is completely automated, so no person actually sees it. They just send you a bill. Here's the problem with that, though, is that they're not showing anyone the before and after photos, and they also have no way of verifying that the repairs are being made. They're just sending you a bill. So it's really kind of happening in a fact-free environment. The way to fight it, you're absolutely correct, is to take before and after pictures. This system punishes car renters who don't take pictures of their rental. Take pictures of every angle of your car, of the interior, and top and bottom, and you should be fine. Because you'll be able to show them the photos and say, look, here are the photos, everything was fine. And then the after photos, everything was fine. And you're good to go. As you say, they'll let you off the hook. But if you don't take photos, they are not going to show you what they have. They don't like to show you their hand. And they're just going to send you a bill. And it will not end well.
It's interesting.
They've got a system that they'll send you to collections agency if you don't pay up.
It's interesting. The car rental companies, the ones that I had worked with, got really loose. I mean, got to the point where they didn't even bother to look around the car themselves, or write up one of those little pages with a picture of the car and mark where the things were. They just kind of left it up to you. And then they went from that to AI examining your car and then sending you a bill. So I don't know. I guess it's just another money grab. Go down the line, I know that I really don't want to spend half my vacation taking photos of my car. This is really getting annoying.
Well, and you know, really, to qualify, really 6-8 photos, probably a couple of the inside and, you know, 4 or 5 from of the outside would be enough. But I just want to, Chris, it sounds like you have something to say here. I just want to throw in something, and that is I'll never rent a car from Hertz again. I mean, I will not. I had too many marginal issues over the years, and this was just BS. And then they tried to, you know, they tried to run over me, basically, if you'll pardon the pun. And I won't ever rent. I won't ever rent from Hertz Rental Car again. I don't believe that they're honest people. I believe their system is that they're trying to ding their customers, and I don't care to do business with companies like that. Chris?
You're absolutely correct. There are a lot of people now who are saying exactly what you're saying. I ran the numbers, and Hertz stands to make about $46 million a year from this system. So that's your money going directly to Hertz for damage that may or may not be getting repaired or may not even exist.
And the sad thing is if they make $46 million, we'll probably see it with other companies.
Yes. That would be my prediction.
Enough people like you and I and Joe on the street say, you know what, this is BS, and I'm not going to rent from these people anymore. If people vote with their wallets, then it might be a little bit tougher. And you know, there's kind of a lesson there. Is that's the way to get back at folks. You get a hotel that doesn't treat you right, a restaurant that doesn't treat you right. You're out traveling, something like that. Vote with your wallet. And in this day of social media, Lord knows, it's pretty easy to let other people know what your experience was. I just it's a little tough to sort out punitive comments from actual reality. But nonetheless, online reviews can be at least a way to point in the right direction. Chris Elliott has been our guest here for the back half of the Travel Guys today. Lots of good information. If you jumped in the middle of it, and you're an avid traveler, you might want to catch the podcast at TravelGuysRadio.com. Chris, safe travels in Germany with you and your two sons, and we'll catch up with you again down the road in a few weeks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Well, another information-packed visit from our friend Chris Elliott. You know, Tom, we really are lucky to have him on. He's one of the top syndicated columnists in the country, and here we are, the little old Travel Guys in Sacramento, and he's our buddy. So it's... I'll tell you what, he's a real gem to have around. That man knows more about travel than I'll forget in my life.
I remember when we first started with Chris, he was just, I think, still in the Bee, but was no longer being carried by the Sacramento Bee in what was the travel section. Right. However, all this time later, last time we spoke with him, he indicated he was back on the Bee online. In a little travel section after all, so went full circle.
Well, and he's been overseas now for I don't know how long, most of, you know, 4 or 5 years, something like that. He's got his two sons traveling with him now. And so it's a pretty good gig if you can get it. You can go to Elliott.org. Well, that's 2 L's and 2 T's, Elliott.org. And you can find out more there. There is a paid part of Chris's operation where you can get even more updated information, you know, kind of the really good stuff. But there's lots of good stuff on his website. He's also on Facebook. And so there's lots of ways to be able to get that information from Chris. You had an update on our travel agent friend.
Yeah. Sydney Schellinger, who is has a travel advisory company, The Poodle Booked It, and is a semi-regular here with the Travel Guys. She's been nominated to be Best of Citrus Heights, Best Travel Advisor for the Citrus Heights area. And we have a link at TravelGuysRadio.com where you can find where you can vote for Sydney. I think she's definitely worth a vote. So go to TravelGuysRadio.com and and find that and click on it and give her a vote. We think
wouldn't
she
it
is.
Be fun if our very own travel gal ended up being the winner in a local contest. Our guests for next week, Clayton Whitehead is going to join us. Clayton is just back from a trip to Switzerland that was quite a success, so he's going to share a lot about that country. If you are thinking about a trip coming up to Switzerland sometime in the foreseeable future, or it's just on your bucket list, Clayton has some great information. It's always great to have him in as a guest, because when you're a tour director, you see things from an entirely different light than the traveler does. So having that, somebody who can share that kind of information, gosh, Clayton has been doing this now for, 30 years? More than 30 years. So he will be our guest next weekend right here on the Travel Guys Talk About Switzerland.
Well, that wraps it up for another Saturday edition of the Travel Guys. Remember, we're at TravelGuysRadio.com. You can get our podcasts. Final word, Mark.
Have a great week. Remember, dance like nobody's watching.